Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love. I am TJ Jackson. With me, I have my two brothers.
You are not ready.
Todd and Terrell Jackson, how are you guys?
Doing great. Good.
Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the DD Jackson Foundation.
Keep going. You sound good. I like it.
You want me to keep going?
Let's switch seats. Yeah.
Where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives, we are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side.
Beautiful. Thank you, Terrell.
No problem.
So we already introduced me, you, and Taj, but we have a guest with us. We're not going to really wait to introduce him because he's not really a guest. He's a co-host. Yeah. We have with us Royal Jackson. How are you, Royal?
I'm good. I'm well.
He's good. He's well. Let's go into the weeks. Let's get that out of the way because we have a really important topic we're going to discuss today on the power of love. So first, let's go with Terrell. How was your week, buddy?
Well, I mean, obviously we didn't have a show last week. There was sad news. One of our good friends, someone that I went to high school. We all actually went to high school with. He was in my grade. Lost a really good close friend of mine, David Strasia, passed away, and that was really, really tough. And you know, it's I've obviously keep thinking about him, and it's funny, we do this show, and you know, it's a difficult topic to discuss, and every week we come and we try to find ways to help and to provide a platform to open the discussion of healing and just uniting and building a community of love. And it was difficult, man. It still is.
Yeah.
And just all these tools, I try to use them. And I noticed one thing for me is I felt guilt right away. Yeah. There was guilt crept in, and you know, just
guilt of what?
Like, just not checking in, calling enough, or taking advantage of time while it was here. I think a lot of it comes from, you know, obviously they're not here anymore, so there's nothing you can do. So I think that's where it came from. But I just felt there was a little bit of guilt on my part because I just felt I could have done more to just be more present, and I didn't say things that I wanted to say to him. You know, just all of those thoughts coming into your mind, you know, you never know when you're going to lose someone.
Yeah.
And it was difficult for me, and you know, all these memories came back from childhood on up, and it's just incredibly sad.
It definitely was sad when we found out. It was heartbreaking. It was just a really difficult. I mean, because Dave was in your grade,
yeah.
So you have more personal experiences with them. But even Taj and I had remote. Buckley is such a small school, where you know he's my first baseman.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So even for me coming into high school, pitching and playing first, I think he was like the captain in a way of our team. And you know, me loving baseball and that was a highlight of my high school. Dave was a huge part of it. And then also even after. With that said, though, I think we're going to do a whole show on Dave next week.
Yeah. Next week or the week after.
And we're going to have a couple of guests, more guests, to talk about it. Because it's a huge topic. And, Dave was an amazing person, but and he deserves a show in his own right. But at the same time, people, especially us who are in our 30s and 40s, are starting to go through that, where we're losing childhood friends. And it's not easy. So that's going to be a future show.
Yeah,
probably.
Well, I'll save the stories and things. But,
yeah.
But just to, one last thing. I think you said it best. Dave was the type of person that when you met him, it was hard to forget him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of my friends, you know, that didn't go to the same school as I would mention, you know, that he passed. And they knew exactly who I was talking about. And they knew his energy and just everything about him. And they, you know.
Special guy. I'll never forget Dave.
Yeah.
And we all three of us in our family, love you guys and the Strasia family.
Mm-hmm.
it's a tough row, but you guys are a strong family with love, and you'll get through it. Todd Jackson, your week beside outside of Dave, I know that.
Yeah, I mean, that, as Terrell said, that was kind of, that rocked the whole week, and still, you know, to this day, I think about it. So it's, I don't know if there's other stuff that I can say that, yeah, I was doing, because it's like, it's pretty much that took over everything else in terms of that, as it should, because as you said, Dave was an incredible person, so still dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. Royal, anything?
I watched Taxi Driver for the first time.
Oh.
I haven't. That's
Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
You guys should see Taj's look at Royal. I don't know why you gave him that look, Taj. What was that look for?
He's impressed.
It was actually a good look. It looked like disgust.
Can I take away some of his credit before you give him too much?
I know it was BG.
No.
Oh.
It was for school.
I could have picked 100 movies, though, to be honest.
What? Why Taxi Driver?
200, actually. Because it was Martin Scorsese.
All right. Give him credit. Yeah. Give him credit. He knows
Scorsese's
directors.
Did
you like it?
Yeah, because this is the second assignment we had to do. I picked The Godfather first, and then we're doing Coppola, the assignment again. And then I did Taxi Driver.
Yeah, so that's cool. That's good. I love that.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. With De Niro, right? Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
I have not seen it.
Can we roll off a little low end on Royal's voice? It's making us sound like...
Right? It's scary. My week, I don't really remember my week, to be honest. Terrell, you got anything for my week?
For your week?
Of Dave.
Yeah, we all went to that.
That was the highlight. My heart was broke for him, and even going to his service, which was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
You know, and Dave's service kind of had an effect that Louis had in terms of marriage for me. I thought it was done really well.
Yeah.
You know, it was done with so much love, great stories, great friends, and it was really nice. Mm-hmm. It was really, really, really nice. So that was probably my week too. I don't think, you know, we need to go into anything more. But anyways, we are live on the Power of Love show, so if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in our show, we're going to open up the phone lines. 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. You can always reach us on Twitter. I was going to say you can always hit us up on Twitter, but I don't know if that's in anymore. Is that too old-fashioned, Royal?
No, you're old.
Hit us up, yeah.
So if I said that, I'd be okay?
Yeah, like hit us up and hit my line, but hit my line's texting or calling.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Jeez.
I thought hit my line wouldn't make sense for today's kids because they don't really have a phone line. They have a phone.
Well, like, you know, Drake brought back the hotline billing kind of thing. So. Okay.
All right. Well, you can hit us up on Twitter at DJ Foundation if you have any questions or comments, of course, on topic. For the disclaimer, we're not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Today's topic, Taj, go ahead with the introduction.
Well, real quick, the Twitter is at DDJ Foundation.
Okay, someone wasn't paying attention, but it's okay.
You said that already?
I said it, but you want to say it again.
You said that we're something about Twitter, but I don't
know. I said it.
Okay.
We don't have to rewind the tape. I know I said that one. Right. Why are you smiling, bro?
Because that's, like, didn't we just have the hit us up thing?
That was the phone line.
That was something else.
I don't know. Okay, go ahead, Todd. What's the
topic? Okay, the topic today is about bullying.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it just to be about, you know, in-person bullying or school bullying. I also wanted it to be about cyberbullying.
Yeah.
Because they're both equally as important as a topic, and it's gotten to the point where people are now either committing suicide because of it. And this week there was a kid that he had a video, Keaton Jones, that went viral about discussing how he was being bullied at school, and it went all over social media and became a big topic for everyone. So,
I mean, you had athletes wanting to fly him out to go to sporting events. Even Gracie, who Roe and I do our jiu-jitsu with, invited him and his family for a week to help them.
Yeah. So I mean, huge. It was all over. Yeah. Like, everyone came to his rescue. I think it's a topic, though, that, you know, there's a lot of Keaton Joneses in the world.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of kids that have already lost their lives.
Yeah.
From suicide for that reason.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of go over some of that, just in terms of that.
Well, okay. Well, real quick, I want to update our listeners on the Keaton Jones situation.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
First of all, it's thought that he had been saying the N-word to kids, and the kids, that's where the bullying stemmed for. Obviously, I'm not there. I know how the media works. I know I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's false.
Yeah.
But obviously, in a way, there's a strong opinion that he was instigating and he was bullying himself and then kind of, taking the victim.
Almost like
angle.
We're not getting the whole.
Yeah.
We're not getting the whole story.
The thing is that, and I like to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, in both cases, there's no source. That's the problem. Like, because I looked at the message boards to kind of see where that came from, and we don't know where that came from.
Correct.
And the same thing with the bullying.
However, and I don't know. Again, this is the only problem. I don't have all the facts, and I know how facts can get really mixed up. A lot of people are having issue with the fact that a GoFundMe account was initiated. And it's collected over 55,000. I think it's up to 60,000.
Yes.
And it's like, if Keaton's being bullying, what's the GoFundMe for? So it's kind of like...
That's why you have your older brother.
Go ahead.
To give you some facts.
Yeah.
The biggest GoFundMe, I think it was 55,000 or whatever, the way before they stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
That was created by someone that didn't know who, didn't have any relationship with the family.
Okay.
That one was... In another GoFundMe, there was one that the mom set up.
Okay.
And that was the issue that people had.
Did that come before or after?
I think it might have came after. And it was more for Christmas presents, whatever. But I know that's... So I'm just saying that the higher number wasn't from...
Got you. But
and it's being suspended.
I saw the video of the MMA fighter who wanted to invite Keaton out and had a dialogue with the mom. And this one seems very credible.
Yes.
Because I don't think this MMA fighter, who doesn't seem to need any attention, would do this. He seemed hoodwinked.
Yeah.
And he basically said, I had a disappointing conversation with the mother. I wanted to help Keaton, and all she wanted me to do was push out this GoFundMe account.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of duped.
Yeah.
Wow. And the other thing, the update we need to talk about before we continue with the bullying topic, because it's such an important topic. And this situation, although it's bringing a lot of attention, it's also kind of muddying the water.
It is, yes.
Was the mother's history, where she seems to be very, at least have some racist tones, racist opinions. It's hard. I don't know what's fact and what's not, but it seems like...
Because there's a picture, right?
I don't know. I didn't see the picture.
Yeah.
I mean...
And her smile.
I don't know. All I do know is me personally, as T.D. Jackson, I don't get comfortable around people when I see the Confederate flag. It's just something that I don't know. So it means something to me, and I don't like it. So that's just my opinion. I don't know if that, just because you have a Confederate flag, makes you a racist or not. I don't know if it makes you have, you know, prejudgments on people. Whatever it is, I think in going forward, it's something that people, if you're going to, you know, show it and be proud of it, you got to be careful, because... In my opinion, there's no real place for it, because it hurts a lot of us people.
Yeah.
It's
hard, because we live in a world right now that it's like there's so many different sources of information. We don't know what's true or not, you know, and that's the thing. And it's like it all becomes part of the atmosphere.
Well, so, I mean, I'm from California. I'm not from the South, so I don't know all the facts and histories of Confederate flag and what makes
it racist or not. I'm talking about the whole story.
Yeah, I just want to elaborate on that. Oh. But at the same time, I know a lot of people, including myself, maybe not to their degree, who's not comfortable. With the Confederate flag. So, I think there's not. You know, I think there's a lot of things I don't do. Out of respect for others' people, it's like an empathy trait, and it appears that she's definitely lacking an empathy trait. Okay, that's the best way to say it. Taj, so this show is what? It's on bullying.
Yeah.
Not only just physical bullying, mental bullying,
and cyberbullying,
and not only for kids. In my opinion, it's for adults as well. we're talking about kids, and there's a stat that says 77% of students are bullied mentally, verbally, and physically. Cyberbullying statistics are rapidly approaching similar numbers, with 43 experiencing cyberbullying. That's crazy. 1 in 5 students admit to being a bully or doing some bullying. Each day, 160,000 students miss school for fear of being bullied. Mm-hmm. 160,000 kids are missing school because they don't want to be bullied.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. I would like to talk about there's two kids that, because of being bullied,
yes, Taj, please.
Committed suicide recently. And one was 11-year-old Tony Rivers, who got bullied at school, and she shot herself. Mm. And it's, for me, it's hard because it's like, how much, you know, I don't like to put the blame on other people and stuff. So it's like, how much was the school? How much was, mm-hmm. you know, because you feel like there could have been something done about it. But hearing those statistics, it's like, it seems like it's one of those things that is just rampant now.
You know what it is, Taj? It's definitely rampant. I think social media has a role in it. Life's tough, man. You know, and even being a parent, being a teacher, it's all tough, because if a teacher kind of oversteps their boundaries, they can lose their job. And quote unquote overstepping their boundaries 20 years ago when we were kids wasn't overstepping their boundaries. You know what I mean? It was just being a discipline heavy teacher. Nowadays, if you say something wrong or use the wrong word to mm-hmm. kids, you know, and whether a teacher is reprimanding a bully, basically my point is bullies can simply become the bully so quickly now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like if mm-hmm. the Keaton Jones allegations of him calling someone the N-word, he started off as the bully. Yeah. And then quickly that could have reversed. Yeah. And now he's feeling like he's bullied. So it's just everywhere. And I think, again, it's a lack of empathy on our society.
Yeah, I think it's that and a lack of power, like in terms of just feeling helplessness.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, I don't know that much about bullies themselves, but I know that a lot of the times the bullies, they do it because they don't have power, you know, in their life.
Insecurity.
Yeah, insecurity, whether it's power at home or power, so they take it out on, you know, on others. But with the Tony Rivers situation, it says that she told five of her friends, and this is a quote, that she couldn't take it. She couldn't do this anymore, and she was going home, and she was killing herself. And so
she did.
And she did. And this is an 11-year-old, sixth grader. And that's the kind of, you know, being bullied for months. But that's just one incident. There was a 10-year-old
Her name is
hold on 1 second. I had it because I have a bunch of these.
Okay, tell her a story while you're looking.
You know he can't do both.
I can't. Well, I'm manning the Twitter and,
you know,
and doing this.
And I'm proud of you, Taj. You're earning your keep right now.
Ashante Davis. Mm-hmm. She died. She was being bullied. Go on to something else.
No, it's okay. Okay, so what I do want to say while you get all those stats and all that together, parents, uncles, aunts, teachers, everyone, it's something that I think even if you see a kid who looks like they're okay, it's worth discussing with them, worth having mm-hmm. a conversation, how's everything going, you know, and really look into that. Look into the self-esteem. I think back when we were younger, it was tough it out. You know,
mm-hmm. right?
It's different now with social media. It's in their face all day. So if you're being bullied at school, it doesn't end when you get home.
Yeah,
because there's ways these bullies can easily reach out to you, or even down you more with group chats and Snapchat.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, because that's exactly what happened with Ashante, was that she committed suicide after a video of a fight with an alleged bully was posted online.
Yeah, see, and that's something we didn't have to deal with. You know, we had a bad day at school with some kids. We go home and we're on to the next topic. And, you know, after 12, 13, 14 hours, things would have maybe slowed down, you know, and then you're back at school. Maybe you forgot about it. Maybe, you know, you're on to the next thing. Nowadays, it goes with them. So, again, parents, teachers, uncles, family members, check in with your kids and make sure that that's this isn't happening because it's becoming a serious problem. And then the other thing I want to say is there's a stat that 10% of the parents are unaware that their teens mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 10% are 10 out of 100 parents are the ones who are aware. So basically 90% of the parents are unaware that their kids are even getting bullied in the first place.
Yeah, I'm not a parent, but yeah. Is it just talking to your kids, or is it kind of being a little nosy involved. And snooping and realizing?
I'm a snooping parent. I don't care what people
Mom
say.
Mom was a snooping parent.
I'm a snooping parent. I mean, people say, I think, Terrell, you're not a snooping parent, right?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty good.
I'm going to be a snooping parent.
Well, I'm a snooping parent. I don't care. I mean, and they won't that's know just, just going to, I don't really care.
I got my kids.
Royal's right here. And the reason why is because there's things, and I had this discussion with Royal, there's things that as his father, I see that he can't see yet. He's just got to respect that and appreciate that and understand that. So when I'm snooping, it's not to, and I won't call him out on anything that's not harmful. I've been there. I've done everything. But I want to make sure I don't find something that can be harmful. And I think that's why I'm a snooping parent, because sometimes you can't find it. Go ahead, Terrell. What were you going to say?
No, I just wanted to, how would you define bullying straight out?
Any type of harassment.
So you would say any type of harassment?
Mm-hmm.
So would you say, because, you know, growing up kids tease. Is there a fine line, or when does it start to becoming?
Here's the thing.
In that bullying?
Okay, so me, my friends and I are like, you know, we tease and joke around with each other all the time. But there's a thing, like, we've had a bond for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
3 years of seeing each other every day. And, you know, like, it's not, the thing with bullying is that, like, that's the only attention they're getting is, like, negative attention. Like, it's not like the bully, like teases them. And it's like, all right, let's go, like, hang out after. It's just, like, a repeated, like, harassment.
Repetitive, yeah.
And they don't even have that connection. It's like, it's just a random kid.
Yeah.
You know? And there's also cases where, like, best friends, like, you know, like, they like turn on each other. Like, one becomes like a bully, and like the other one's like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like, I thought we were friends. So like, it can be your own friends, but it's mostly just like random people, and like they like the bully might think it's a joke, but it's like it's just repeated unwanted harassment.
And to add to that, I assume when friends separate, but when one friends, they recruit other friends to make it more of a group bullying style. You know what I mean?
Like in a group chat?
Group chat or even in person. I feel like if there's a group of friends that are a group, and then there's an issue between two of the friends, there's like an attempt to get as many of the kids in the group to be on their side, and then it's like it turns into bullying.
Yeah, I mean,
but what's difficult for me to understand is how a child can be bullied so much and for so long and it not go noticed. By whether it's a teacher, whether it's a principal, a coach, or a parent, or any adult, like, how can it continue to happen? I mean, I feel like it's at some point it's people not really looking out after others.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to that. Like, it just happens. Like, it's not just like one like scenario at a school. It's like so many, and like. Like, as a teacher, they might like not know what to do. They might not know if there's their place to step in or not. And like, a couple years ago, I saw a documentary about like five different kids that were getting like bullied about like five different reasons. And like, it was all at the same school, and like the teachers like just didn't know how to handle it. Like, they didn't know.
They knew about it.
They right. didn't. Yeah. They knew it was going on, but they maybe thought like. Oh, like they're just playing around,
right?
They're friends and stuff like that, and like
so they didn't really know the seriousness of it.
Yeah, they didn't know the severity, or they didn't know like if the person was actually getting hurt by it, you know. And it's just like
what was the documentary? Do you know
the name?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
It was like in freshman year.
Well, bullying's our topic. We're discussing all things bullying. We want to hear from you guys as well, so please call in if you have any stories. Where you've been bullied, where you've been the bullying and learned from it, where you've seen bullying take place.
And what did you do?
And what did you do? Any type of info you can give us, anything to help our community. We're discussing all things bullying today. I just wanted to make sure people know that, so please call.
I want to share one of my stories that you guys probably don't even know.
Let's hear it.
I witnessed bullying. I was in 11th grade, 11th or 10th grade, and two of my friends were bullying another one of my friends. And it got so bad that I actually, it got to like a pushing kind of thing. And one of them was a lot smaller than the other one. And I actually jumped on to like hold the bigger guy to stop him. And he flung me off, and I actually fell and hit my head on the concrete at school. And
so what's wrong with you?
And I'll never forget it. Mom came to school because, you know, of course the school was worried, probably because now being older, I know why they were more worried, you know.
The lawsuits.
But yeah, but they also said that I did the right thing, you know, about, you know, and I was kind of proud of myself for doing that because I actually, you know, a lot of people don't intervene, but I felt like it was like I had to do something and I was the person to do it. And I don't regret that, you know.
So how long do you think that was going on for?
They were we were all friends. So it was it was like a turn just like that in terms of where something might have happened behind the scenes and they didn't like how someone, you know, and they just two people teamed up on one person. So as Royal said, it could happen with friends.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take we're not going to take our first call. I got to drop. Quick question.
Yeah.
Who's bullying more, boys or girls?
Girls.
Okay, I'm going to get back with the answer. We're going to take this phone call.
Ooh.
Hi, who do we have on the line with us today?
Hi, guys. This is Meredith.
What's going on, Meredith?
Hold on, Meredith.
Hey, I like your topic, and I can't believe you brought this one up. I actually was bullied, if you can believe it or not, from first grade to sixth grade, because in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I used to live, we had up to sixth grade. And I was thinking about what Terrell just said about how can you go that long and nobody noticed. Well, with me, because I just told my sister last year I was bullied, and because right now I'm an advocate against bullying. I mean, it was awful. And the reason why I never did anything or even fought back, I told my mom years later, I said, Mommy, I thought I would get in trouble if I fought back because I know we were taught not to fight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the kids at school, it was like six girls that were all together, so even if I fought back, of course, I'm sure I wouldn't win against six girls, but it was awful. One year that they actually, while I was drinking out of water fountain, pushed my head into the fountain, and it chipped my tooth. And my parents, I just told them, oh, I fell and bumped. I never told them that's how I got a chipped tooth, and I had that chipped tooth up until I was 25 when I finally got it fixed. But, yeah, I actually had scars from bullying that it made me so angry, and I think I still carry some of that anger because when I'm substitute teaching, if I hear kids saying they get bullied, oh, I step in right away and let them know, hey, you can't do this. And even with my two daughters raising them, they know. I tell them right away, don't ever get scared to tell me you're being bullied and don't let anyone bully you. And like you guys were talking about, this social media is what's so different than what it was when we were growing up younger. You know, me, these kids were just looking up my number in the yellow pages, calling, hanging up on my phone. That's how awful it was. And I can still remember their names, but I won't do, like, call their names out.
That's right. And let me ask you a question. Did you look them up to see how they were doing? Be honest.
Have I looked? No, but it's funny you would say that because when I told my sister, she starts saying, what's the last name? I was like, Lisa, these people could be, you know, anything. They could be sick, you know, or after this, you know, it's over now. But it's just I want people to know when your kids bully someone, the child that's being bullied never forgets that. And like I said, that was over, what, 30 years ago. And I have not forgot that. That's right. Like I said, I still know all the girls' names and their last names. And it's just, it's awful. Now, of course, if I saw them today, would I go up angry? No, I would still say, hey, how are you doing? Because it's over. But I would let them know I never forgot. I mean, and it's so sad because I was already going to a school way away from my neighborhood because that was the problem. It was because they were black, I was black. But all my friends, since I went to school in a suburban area, they were all white, and they didn't like that. They didn't like that I chose to meet and mingle with all different races. They hated that, so they threatened me all the time. My boyfriend, the boy that I like, he was white. They threatened him. He got scared. So it was like an awful experience. As you guys can tell, I still have that pain in me because it was just awful growing up with that, you know, that happening every day at a school. So...
Meredith, I want to ask you, and thank you again for sharing your story. When you were younger, how did you feel while this was going on? Were you afraid to tell? You said you were afraid to fight because you thought you were going to get in trouble. Did you ever feel scared to tell because you thought maybe it would bring more anger or they'd be meaner to you, basically bully you even more?
Oh yeah, that too. Like I said, it was awful. I mean. Like I said, I did. I mean, I think some of the teachers didn't know, but since I really didn't say anything and I came back to school every day, you know, and I think the teachers noticed it, but I don't know. I always wondered why the teachers didn't step in and do something to these girls. I mean, because walking to the bus, you know, line, one of the girls came and pushed my head back with their finger. Like, little things like that, yeah, I remember that. Just now, if it happened or if I saw it happen, especially to my own kids, I just don't know what I'd do because I still feel...
You feel that
pain.
This
is horrible. I wish... the one thing I will say about bullying, I want to talk to the kids that are being bullied because I don't want them to ever get to a point where they feel they have to take their life. Talk to someone. The story, the second girl you were talking about, Todd, that's the story I just saw, and it really hurt me because she was 10, and I'm like, and she hung herself. And it's just,
Ashanti,
and she's not the first one to do something like that at such a young age, and with me working with children, even though I work with teenagers, it just hurts me that they feel that it's gotten so bad that they would take their lives. I wish they'd stand up and talk to someone, go to a counselor, go to anyone. Don't end your life because that's not fair to you. You haven't done anything wrong, so why are you ending your life? And I know they can't see that at the time, but they need someone there to help them get through that. And it just, like I said, bullying is a very sensitive topic for me. So
what is it that goes on in someone's mind where they don't want to discuss it or they don't want to tell or share it with them? What are they feeling, you think?
I think it's basically retaliation. You feel, even as adults with jobs, with things happening, you know it's not right. You're scared to talk because you think of what's going to happen. What's the retaliation? Like I said, the boyfriend that I had back then, that's what he told me. He said, Meredith, I couldn't talk to you anymore because they threatened me. They said they were going to beat me up if I talked to you. Finally, you know, we both said whatever because we were such close friends, and we realized they didn't do anything, but it's all about if you do it, what are they going to do next? Is it going to get worse? Like I said, they had already pushed my head into a water fountain and chipped my tooth. They consistently bullied me. The one best friend, I had another best friend, they got her to turn on me, and it's just, it was, like I said, it was awful. It was an awful experience to go through that, but at the same time, I don't like saying some things happen for a reason, but I am going to use that. I try to use that to help other people when I see them. So.
That's right, and you know, your past has kind of formed how you're thinking now, and you being a teacher, which I completely commend and am kind of envious of. I'm telling you guys, I'm going to be a teacher one day, but I commend that. And you know, because of your past, you're very sensitive to it. So you may not know it, but you're going to, you know, very likely maybe save someone's life or save someone's, and not just their physical life, but maybe you're going to help them not go down that path of depression, of losing, you know, their life, not the physical way, but actually mentally, you know, and just living a really depressed life. So I commend you, Meredith, and I thank you. I have one quick question for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
How did you, what was it that, you know, I think you said from first to sixth grade, what was it in seventh, eighth grade that kind of got you through that period where you didn't feel like you were being bullied anymore?
Going to a different school, new surrounding, saying, hey, they won't remember. No one knows what happened at that school. No one knows that she's the girl that can get picked on. And the crazy thing, I hate telling this story, but a lot of people say it's a part of me growing. But, you know, I went there, and then I actually tried to bully someone because I was like, hey, I was bullied. But it didn't turn out well. The little girl beat me up.
Well, you weren't.
But I'll be honest, that's what happened. I deserved it because everything I was saying to her, she was trying to be so nice to me, and I deserve it. So I learned the lesson, and maybe if I would have did the same thing, maybe I could have taught them. I'm not, you know, advocating violence or anything, but
if
I stood up for myself, it would have been different, and that's how I am now. Now I'm a person that will speak out, will stand up for myself, and I know you have to go, and I got to say this to you guys, and I hope I don't start crying when I say it, because I got something for you guys, because you guys don't know, for the past year, listening to your show, all the guests you had on there, like Annalise, Amy, Jessica, and Lynn, and Rabbi Steve, you guys have really... This one year, I've changed. Like, talking now, I never would have done this. But you guys, when I said that about Tarot Ties, it's actually me, too. I became who I needed to be. And like I said, I really appreciate the show. I'm wishing you guys much success. I need to just ask you guys, do you have, you can just message it or put it on there or tell me, on the DDJ Foundation, like, because what I'm sending you is a little plaque. Thank you guys for everything you've done and how much I really appreciate it. And I just want to, it's for you and your board, because all of your board is part of this process. So I just want to thank you guys. But is there an address on there on the website that I can send it to?
Let's do this, Meredith. You email us at info@ddjf.org, and then I'll get you an address to send it to. So email us at info@ddjf.org, and then I'll take care of the address for you.
Okay, well, you guys enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks for bringing
that topic up, Meredith.
And now that Royal's on there, Roy, you're going to have to start talking a lot.
Meredith, thank you so much for the phone call. Your words were amazing, so thank you. And have a great day.
You guys, take care.
You too.
Thank you.
What a great phone call. We have another phone call. You want to answer it?
Real quick, Josh. I just wanted to say there's a online, I found a Twitter organization. Actually,
beautiful.
It's not a Twitter organization. It's an organization, but I found them on Twitter that I think deserves a mention. They're called Cyber Smile Foundation. I've been following them for a little while, and they're an anti-cyberbullying nonprofit spreading positivity online.
Beautiful. One more time, what's the name?
The Twitter handle is @CyberSmileHQ, but it's Cyber Smile Foundation.
Cool.
But it's about anti-cyberbullying, and they're very good. I've been following them for a little while, and they're a very good organization.
Cool.
Very positive.
Thanks for that, Taj.
No problem.
We're going to take another phone call. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, this is Tiffany.
What's going on, Tiffany?
Hi, Tiffany.
Well, I wanted to call in and contribute about the bullying topic. Because I was bullied basically from, like, I'd say kindergarten until about maybe ninth grade. Like, the really bad part of it was from sixth to eighth grade. And I know you were talking about, like, the children that were so young and taking their lives. And, you know, I was in that situation when I was about 12. I believe you said one of the girls was 11. You know, it really, you know, like I said, I was a slow moving target. I was overweight. I had glasses. So, you know, I was kind of the easy one to pick out and, you know, make fun of. But, you know, there was just this little group of girls. And like Meredith just said, I still remember every girl's name. And I have looked them up on Facebook and, you know, kind of what they were making fun of me for, they're now experiencing themselves. I'm going to put it that way. But as far as, you know, just every single day, every single class for seven periods through the whole day, I was with these people. I couldn't get away from them because I was in the advanced placement class. They were in the advanced placement class. It was like there was just no escape. Every single classroom, there they are, picking at me, starting mess. I couldn't even get away from them at lunch. And you know, like when I was 12, before then I didn't even know what like suicide was, because my whole world was like, you know, cartoons, kiddie stuff, watching your Uncle Michael, watching y'all. And, you know, it was a Lifetime movie, and at the end of the movie, you know, this person committed suicide. And, you know, I asked my mom, I said, well, you know, can people really do that? Is that something real? And she was like, yeah, but, you know, my mother was very religious. She's like, God forgives everything but self-murder. And the thing that really, because, I mean, I really was at, like, the end of my rope and was like, okay, I'm through with life, I'm through with, you know, all of this. But what really stopped me was, at 12, I considered being discovered, you know, like, who would find my body? And, you know, I said, well, my dad was a stay-at-home dad at the time. And I was like, well, I don't want my dad to, you know, walk in and find, you know, my remains. I don't want my mom to come in from work and find my remains. And that was really the thing that kept me from
doing it.
You know, taking a final leap, yeah.
Now,
and you know, it was hard.
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing the story.
Yeah.
I know it's not easy to call in and open up. But you mentioned something that's very important, and that's if if anyone is being bullied or having consideration of harming themselves, you know, that's something that you mentioned about your father discovering you. It was a very mature and real opinion. You know what I mean? And I think that's something that if you are being bullied and you think that no one's loving you, just remember your loved ones love you. And
right.
You know, anything you would do to hurt yourself will destroy and really hurt them. So, and whether it's your parents, whether it's your best friends, whether it's your cousins, whether it's your aunts or uncles, you have a whole army of people that love you and support you, and you don't want to destroy them. And I was kind of just speaking to that person who's being bullied, because no matter if your father is mad at you or was mean to you, he loves you, you know, and it's important that the kids that are contemplating that hear that, because a lot of times I don't think parents say it enough or show it enough because we're too busy parenting, but you have to understand that. Tiffany, was there anything else? Again, thank you for your story. I do want to ask you one question, though. Because this is important to me. I was never really bullied. I had two older brothers, and I went to a small school where it just didn't happen much. At least, I think it was controlled. How did you get through it? How did you get past the bullying where it stopped having that power on you?
Well, basically, in the moment, like, I was just like stuck and focused on your uncle, and like, you know, his music was really uplifting. I mean, I know you probably hear that every single day of your life. Somebody grabs you and says, you know, Michael Jackson had this impact, your music had this impact. But I mean, it really did, because, you know, everything was just like a mess for me at 12. You know, okay, I'm fat, I have glasses, you know, everybody seems like they hate me, and you know, here's this guy in Sparkle singing about, you know, making a change, healing the world, you know, just all of these positive messages. And, you know, he was really kind of like a superhero to me, kind of like, you know, showing me that, okay, there are some nice people out there, and you know, Don't end it all right now.
I love it.
I mean, because I went to a totally different high school than these people, because I, around the middle of eighth grade, I started listening to what high school that everybody was going to, and there are three high schools in my town. I lied and said I was going to a different high school and went to the other high school, and that's where I met my best friend, Ebony. And she actually jumped in when somebody started bullying me. Because, like, you know, it's basically a flag with me. Everybody knows I like Michael Jackson. It's just a thing. So in class one day, these guys were giving me a hard time, and she sat in front of me. And we had never spoken two words to one another ever before then. And Ebony turns around, and, you know, she's basically kind of like, you know, okay, so she likes Michael Jackson. Knock it off. Leave her alone. And the kids never bothered me again. And, like, 100 years later, Ebony and I are still best friends.
That's so good. Ebony, are you on the line with us right now?
Yes, I am.
Do you remember that day she was just talking about?
Hi.
Ebony, do you remember what Tiffany was just talking about?
Yes, I do, and I believe I know the person she's referring to because I was on the basketball
the
team.
The Cantu boy.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, Ebony, what's been your experience with bullying?
Well, I've been bullied as well, mostly because of what I look like. I mean, I've always been tall. I've always been, you know, plus size and all that. And around middle school, it was starting to get really bad. But one of the things that helped me out was one of my teachers, actually, my orchestra teacher, Miss Messer.
Mm-hmm.
She basically sat me down and told me, like, don't listen to what they have to say. It doesn't matter what they say. What's important is that you're happy with who you are and what you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I definitely took that to heart. And ever since then, I was able to grow some really tough skin, especially around high school. Tiff will tell you.
Yes.
Because one of the avenues for me to, you know, to not let all that stress out was me playing sports. I went from volleyball to basketball to softball up until my senior year. So
staying
and
active.
I write, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very important. You got to stay active and stay creative. Those are two huge mm-hmm. options for people, not only who are being bullied, but just in general. But that's a good point. So thank you both
yeah,
for your phone.
Oh,
go ahead. You got one more thing, Ebony?
I'm sorry. I wanted to make a point about the Keaton Jones situation.
Let's hear it.
Because I've been paying attention to that as well. But one of the things that really gets me is, I mean, yes, there is a possibility that Keaton may have, like, instigated the whole situation at first
mm-hmm.
with that racist comment. But one thing that needs to be considered is that maybe he's learning this behavior
absolutely.
From his parents, his mother.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So one of the things is we have to make sure that the adults aren't teaching them to be bullies.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And held responsible.
Yeah, because that's just going to lead to like a very destructive cycle, and it needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Great point, Ebony. Thank you, ladies, mm-hmm. for calling in and contributing to the show.
Sure.
We have to wrap. Yeah. We're only a couple minutes away from our time, so
yeah. But thank you for calling.
But thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
Hi, Royal.
Hello.
He's over there, quiet, just listening. But thanks, ladies, so much. And you guys have a wonderful rest of your week. All right.
You too.
You too,
right.
Guys.
Take care.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Bye. So, just. Power, you know. Go ahead, Terrell.
No, I was just gonna say it's really sad all the way around. Our we have so much work to do. Our world is just so many areas. There's racism. There's you know,
but
hate.
It's discussion. It's we're discussing it, and that's the first mm-hmm. step to making change.
The thing is, like, it's about like the culture, like today with kids. It's like it's cool to like roast people now, like. You know, like you always see that thing where like people are like you know, talking smack to each other, and everyone's like ooh and stuff like that. So everyone thinks it's like cool to like do that kind of stuff. And we didn't really talk about cyberbullying. And like I'm on like Instagram and like Twitter and like Snapchat, YouTube, and like all those social media platforms a lot. And like reading comments and stuff, and like there's just so much like even like just micro like just small things like. People can say like one hate comment, and that one hate comment can get a bunch of likes, and people
yeah.
are like, oh, like this is true now, like, and so it's just a lot of like, it's so much easier to like, you know, just spread negativity through this like web of like Instagram and like just like it's like you could just type, you know, it's called like keyboard warriors is what like they're called. It's like it's so much easier to talk smack like to a screen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like. I see a lot more like negative comments on like posts more than positive comments.
But you know what's crazy is those comments that are done digitally are actually, in my opinion, more powerful because that's what the reader or that's what he holds on to. Like you can get 10 great messages of something positive.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
that one negative one yep. that you retain.
That sticks out.
Yeah.
You know, that sticks out. So, but good point, Ro. All right, guys, we have to close up the show.
Yep.
Before we close it up, though, I asked a question earlier. Who's bullying more, boys or girls? You guys want to take a quick guess?
I think girls.
I would say girls.
I was going to say girls, but it seems like boys would.
Why?
Just because you brought up the thing. But
really?
Like testosterone?
All right, I'm going to read something. Overall, bullying is more common among boys, but it can be harder to spot among girls, who are more likely to engage in relational aggression rather than physical aggression. Mm-hmm. These types of bullying are no less damaging to the victim. Sometimes they are actually more damaging and longer lasting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very accurate. You know, boys are more physical.
Yeah.
They'll come up to you. I see where girls are kind of, they do it in a subtler, yeah, but yeah, more impactful way. With that said, to all the parents, teachers, whatever you are, really, whatever profession you are, you have a platform. Even if you're not in a profession, you have nieces and nephews that you can reach out to. Have that conversation with them. It can very well save their lives or save another one's life. Talk to them about the power of bullying, if they're the buller, and how, what they need to make sure they don't bully. And if you have a little one that's being bullied, have that discussion that you have to just get through, and it's one of the weaker things about society and humanity, and has nothing to do with you. You have a whole group of people who love you, and it's really insufficient character trait of the bullier. But basically, make a difference, and that's one thing I love about Meredith. I don't know what Ebony and Tiffany does, but as a teacher, she's trying to make her little, mm-hmm, little stamp on the world. So the last thing I want to say real quick is a shout out to Logic with his song. I know it's not Royal's favorite song, but the song 800-273-8255, which has been on the radio, I think it's been number one for a while, is a suicide hotline song. If you are being bullied or know anyone who's being bullied, suggest them to the point where they feel like they've talked about taking their lives, please call that number. Do what's needed, because tomorrow's never promised, and you don't want to live knowing that you could have made that extra step to try to help. That's our show. Taj, Charles, anything else you guys want to add, or Royal?
No, we just got to take better care of each other.
Yeah, really look out for each other.
Beautiful. Much love. If you enjoyed our show, please visit our website, www.ddjf.org, ddjf.org, and we will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Have a wonderful rest of the week, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.